Luke 11, 5 to 13, and I'm reading from the Message version. Then Jesus said, imagine what would happen if you went to a friend in the middle of the night and said, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. An old friend travelling through just showed up, and I don't have a thing on hand. The friend answers from his bed, don't bother me. The door's locked. My children are all down for the night. I can't get up to give you anything. But let me tell you, even if he won't get up because he's a friend, if you stand your ground knocking and waking all the neighbours, he'll finally get up and get you whatever you need. Here's what I'm saying. Ask and you'll get. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will open. Don't bargain with God. Be direct. Ask for what you need. This is not a cat and mouse hide and seek game we're in. If your little boy asks for a serving of fish, do you scare him with a live snake on his plate? If your little girl asks for an egg, do you trick her with a spider? As bad as you are, you wouldn't think of such a thing. You're at least decent to your own children. And don't you think the Father who conceived you in love will give the Holy Spirit when you ask him?
Well, good morning, everybody. So we're week 3, I think, into our series on living the supernatural lifestyle. And today we're just going to be really simply looking at the nature of prayer. And for me, in that passage, kind of basically says two things. In prayer, we need to have persistence. And then Jesus goes on to say, actually, part of it is about me giving you the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is there just to help us to be friends with God, to be intimate with God. You know, John was the only disciple that could rest his head on the chest of Jesus. And the Holy Spirit means that it can't just be one person that does it. It's actually, we can all do it. We can all be intimate with God. So that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. It's just two things, two aspects of prayer. Firstly, having persistence in prayer. Secondly, being intimate with God in prayer and it being about relationship. I'm actually delegating my talk to Roger and Chloe because, I just think they'll have some good stuff to share. But just before that, before I get Roger on, for me, as a church, we're in a new season. I said that on our first Sunday here. I said, you know, the people of Israel, they cross from one season to the next, and actually, you know, things in the heavenlies change, and therefore things on the earth should change, and therefore we should change our expectations. And then last week, I thought what Paul Gough said was really, really profound. If you weren't there, he basically did a fantastic talk. And one of the things he said, he talked about gold mining. And he said, you know, you as a church, you know, you might have seen little bits of gold, over the years. And those golds, represents people coming to Jesus. But actually, that's a sign that there's gold in Demdare Hills. And actually, I feel like there's a new grace for not just seeing the ones and twos, but actually really going after salvations. So I was with Roger earlier in the week, and we were having a coffee and a catch-up, and he told me how he became a Christian. And I thought, Roger, that's a great story. You should share it. Do you want to come and share it?
Thank you very much. I have to, first of all, remember that I'm with friends today. It's always a bit difficult coming to the front and sharing things. I want to take you back to... it's very emotive, this, and I hope I manage to get through it okay. 1981, which is 35 years ago, which is half my life, and you don't have to be a great mathematician to work that one out, but there we are. So we'd had our daughter, Katrina, in March 1980. I was working somewhere, but first of all, if you bear with me, this is a kind of testimony thing of my life. I'd just like you to play one of my songs from kind of a little bit after that era. It's called I Was Just a Simple Man. Thank you.
Simple things and going my own way, doing what came naturally. Isn't that what they say? If I hurt someone or told a lie, well, they would soon forget. It didn't seem that wrong. Why did you choose me, Lord? Why did you choose me, Lord, to include me in your plan? Why did you choose me, Lord? Why did you choose me, Lord? I was just a simple man, running in the stream of life with blinkers on my eyes. Blasphemies came from my lips, and I was deaf to others' cries. I was Jack the Lad, a ball of fun, a real winning prize. But there you were right by my side, choose me, Lord, to include me in your plan. Why did you choose me, Lord? Why did you choose me, Lord? I was just a simple man. Why did you choose me, Lord? Why did you choose me, Lord, to include me in your plan?
I've been in the music business for a long time, and you know, one wasn't always walking in the righteous path. Anyway, so back to 1981, and I had a call. I was just doing a job somewhere, and they said that my daughter Katrina had been taken into hospital, and they thought she had leukemia. So I rushed over to the hospital, the children's ward at Wickham. And they said they were going to do a bone marrow test. And I just didn't know where to put myself. I knew, I'd always kind of believed, but I knew there was a lot of baggage around me. People might understand that feeling. So over the years on my allotment, this dear couple here, the Sandemans, we talked about God many times, and we probably had our differences, but at that point, the only person that I knew who I could call upon was John Sandeman to come and pray. So I phoned him from the call box outside the children's ward, and he said he would agree to come over, which was very kind of him. But he would also ask some other people to pray at the same time. which is a kind of novelty for me. So John came over, and we, with my wife and little Katrina and I, and we prayed in the nursery there. And he said, I might pray in the spirit. I said, well, whatever, I don't know what you mean, but please carry on. So we prayed, and they took a bone marrow, and praise God, it wasn't leukemia. It's something called thrombocytopenic purpura, where the platelet levels have dropped dramatically. And we normally have about 350 to 500,000 counts in the blood, and hers was down to 10,000. And they said that they would give us some kind of steroid enzymes, and maybe in 3 months' time it would start popping up, you know. So 2 days later, they took a test, and it had gone up to 17,000, which little increase, good stuff. 2 days later, it had gone up to 25,000, so we're going up. And then the fifth day, they did another blood test, and they said, we're sending it back because we think it's wrong. And it's... and it had gone up to 600,000, which is more than she ever needed. And you can tell that even now, 35 years on, it has a great impact to me. So I was so grateful for this miracle that I understood was a miracle. And about a week later, I was invited to come to give thanks, possibly, to a group of people who were then call themselves the Garden Christian Fellowship. It's Bob Willard, the Sandemans, there were the Curtises, a few other people. And I went up there, and I remember giving thanks to God for this, and they said, may we pray for you? And I said, yeah. And they stood around me, and I think it was Bob Willard said, I have a word for you. Just one sentence it was, and it was, You've been a long time coming to me, my son. And they said, may we pray for you? And they stood around me and they laid hands on me. And this, I feel it now, this amazing warmth, just I can explain to you, just a heat. And at that point, I suddenly felt, the burdens are gone, the sin, the baggage had been lifted off at that point. And I left that place, and I did a 180, I suppose. It was like a on the road to Damascus experience. And the things I used to say, thoughts, I couldn't do anymore. I was it was a transforming, a renewing of the mind, and in itself was a miracle. So there were two miracles. So that song was a kind of test to me to how it had been and how God was possibly going to use me, and he has used me, and maybe he's using me this morning, I don't know. So there we are.
That's awesome, isn't it? It's awesome. It's the power of prayer. You just think of all the components of prayer, you know. Praying in the hospital, praying and being baptized in love. John probably praying for opportunities to talk about faith. It's persistence in prayer. And, you know, we've seen little bits of gold. But I want to encourage each one of us to start praying again, to have fresh hope, to see salvations, people baptized in love, lives turned around. Every single one of us has got our own individual story, and there's so much scope for those stories to be duplicated across the place. A couple of years ago, Colin gave everyone a marble, for those of you who are around, he gave everyone in the River Churches a marble and said, I want you just to pray for one person. That's your marble, and just keep praying for them. And I want to encourage, I don't have marbles today, but I want to encourage you to get fresh hope for one person. Who is it? Son, daughter, relative, allotment friend, sports friend? if one, you know, if we each go for just one, and it doesn't work quite work like this, but if each of us just really go after him persistently in prayer, for one person, double in size. So here's what I want you to do. I just want you to put out your hand, close your eyes. I want to imagine you're one person, might be a couple of people, can be more if you want. And God says, they're in my hand. My hand is wrapped around your hand. And where discouragement, disappointment, disillusion has come in, tiredness has come in, I just command that to go in Jesus' name. And I just release fresh hope, fresh persistence, fresh encouragement, just to keep being persistent in prayer, to keep knocking on that door. Salvation is at hand. Let's keep praying for these individuals and be bold. Pray for ourselves. Pray for opportunities to share faith like John did on the allotment. Pray for opportunities to offer prayer. Let's just go after this. Let's be persistent, guys, in prayer. So in Jesus' name, just release fresh hope for salvation. Amen. So the second part of that is the of the passage is about intimacy. Jesus says, you know, what good father who asks for a loaf of bread or a fish would never give his kids a scorpion or a rock? How much more will your perfect Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit? And you know, for me, I sometimes feel like, you know, I just constantly just put prayers up to God, and I just forget that it's supposed to be a relationship. My swerve to rot is to think that prayer is almost like a slot machine. Just put the coin in and crank it out, and come on, you know, why isn't this working? I'm still doing it. Actually, that's never what God's heart is. He's always wanted it to be about friendship, about two-way dialogue. So, Chloe's good at this. She's got some good thoughts. So I just thought I'd ask you to share some of the things that you've been learning over the last few years.
Thank you, Dave. Dave basically asked me to share my journey about kind of learning to hear God's voice. And so I guess it started really when I was about 18, 19. And I joined a new church where I lived over in Surrey. And they were getting activated basically in prophecy and learning to hear God and sharing words with other people and stuff like that. So that was kind of the start of it. And shortly after that, a guy who was my age at the time just came up to give a testimony at the front, and his grandma had recently died, and he and his family had been looking through her stuff, and they'd found a prayer journal, and in it he was sharing that she basically just asked God questions and then wrote down what God said. And he was like, I'd like never even heard of this before. This is amazing. I'm going to do it. And I was sitting in the church thinking, yeah, I never heard of that either. That sounds amazing. I'm going to do that as well. And so that was kind of the start of me sort of realizing that I could just ask God questions and he'll say something. And then I guess a few years later, when I joined River, I went for my first sozo. And in my sozo experience, I found out that you can ask God loads of really specific questions, and he really will answer you. And I probably heard more in that sozo from God directly than I've had ever heard from God in my whole life up until that point. And I learned that if you don't hear something, it's not that God isn't saying something. It's just sometimes you're maybe believing a lie, or there's just something that isn't quite right inside that you can pretty quickly sort out, usually by forgiving someone. And then you will hear God answer that question. So as a result of that, I essentially often seek God this way, and I just write down what he says. And I just thought I would give you an example. On New Year's Day, I was feeling a bit grumpy, and I felt that wasn't appropriate on New Year's Day. And it's never good when you put pressure on yourself to be happy, because that makes it even worse. But it was New Year's Day, and we were going to go for a walk, but then we just went to the pub. So we were sitting in the pub, and I'd brought my little journal along, and I was like, I'm just going to pray, because it's New Year's Day, and I feel like I should, you know, find out from God what's going to happen this year. And anyway, but I was just in a grump. So I just wrote down in my little kind of prayer journal thing about how I was feeling and the fact that I felt like I shouldn't be feeling like this and I should be looking forward to the year. And so then I just put, Jesus, what are you saying in my book? And then he said, it's okay to feel upset. And a bit emotional today. I realised I was feeling a bit sad about my mum, who died a few years ago. Anyway, so then I processed some stuff about my mum, and I felt so much better. It was literally kind of 3 minutes' work of just writing down how I was feeling. And I don't even know if it was, half of it was God and half of it was me. I was just writing, you know, writing stuff down. And anyway, so I dealt with that. And I wrote down, actually, I feel a lot better. And I'm actually pretty thankful to be in this pub because I'm sitting by this lovely fire and it was lovely. And my perspective just started to change. And then I said, you know, like, God, what are you saying about 2015? And what are you saying about 2016? And he said some stuff about how 2015 had felt a bit shaky because there'd been some new starts. And, you know, that's a bit difficult. But he said about 2016, how it was going to be a year of solidifying. And he was speaking hope to me about that. And I said, but, like, what's going to change then? Because how does it move from that one thing that it was to this thing that it is going to be? And he talked to me about how this change of mindset was coming. And I just realized when I was reading this morning that it has come. And that's really amazing. I had a chat with Sadie Barnes a few weeks ago. And as a result, I've got a change of mindset about some stuff in my life. And he just said, don't feel you need to gird yourself to endure something. And and that's happened, which is amazing. It's like, oh, I do hear God. And you look back and it's true. So I just asked him questions and I asked him about my relationship with him and what he was saying about that. And just by the end of that, just sitting in the pub, having a drink by the fire, I just felt so much better. And I just had God's perspective on what was going on for me. And so I just shared that in case that's helpful for anybody else in terms of just ask God the question, because there's nothing to be afraid of. He'll never say anything nasty to you. And at best, you'll get God's perspective on your situation. And I always find I always love God more as a result, because he's so kind. And I believe that, you know, Jesus says, my sheep will know my voice. And I absolutely believe that to be true. And I know sometimes you can get caught up with thinking, oh, is it my imagination or is it God? And I don't know what's real. But I think you only find out by practicing. And the more you do it, the more you know, the more you know his voice. And the other thing with this is you're just doing it for yourself anyway. So with a prophetic word, you've got the risk of getting it wrong. But with you, it doesn't matter. It's just for you. And you can just write it in your book and go back on and reflect on it. So that's my thoughts. And I wondered if you would like to, I could just lead you guys in asking God some questions for yourselves. And you can just ask it in your head and just see what comes to mind. Sometimes I just think it. It's just words that come into my head. And so if you're up for it, we could give it a go. So maybe close your eyes, just if that helps you to concentrate. And I'll ask the questions or say something, and if you just want to repeat it, just repeat it in your head and just see what comes to you. And I'll try and use kind of generic wording, because I don't know exactly, obviously, what you're hearing to lead you into the next bit. So just adapt it if what I say isn't quite right. But I just invite you now, Holy Spirit, just to come and be close to each one of us. And whether it's Father God, Jesus, or Holy Spirit, whoever you feel more comfortable, just open yourself up and just imagine, where is he for you? He might be sitting next to you or holding your hand or above you or inside you. Just sense where he is for you. And when you get that sense, just note in your head, how does it make you feel to be with him? And then if you just ask this question in your head after me, Father God or Jesus, Holy Spirit, what do you think about me? You might get a picture, it might be words or a feeling. And then just ask him, is there a lie I'm believing about hearing your voice? And if he says yes, just say, well, what is it and how did I learn this lie? And then just release forgiveness. If there's a person or a situation that comes to mind, just forgive. And then if you just say, I break this lie and I hand this lie to you, Jesus, Father God, Holy Spirit, I hand you this lie. And you might see him do something with it. and say, what truth do you give me in exchange? And then finally, a nice one to always ask is, Father God, what kind of son or daughter am I to you? So I hope, I don't want to break in, but feel free to ask God lots more questions when you're at home. The questions I just did then is often the sort of thing that you do in Sozo. If you haven't had a Sozo before, I really, really encourage it. God only does and says good things, so it's an amazing opportunity just to hear from him. And if you do struggle to hear from him, a great way to just clear out anything that's getting in the way of you hearing his voice. So I'd be really happy to talk to anybody about Sozo if they would like to.
Yay! Chloe, Chloe. So yeah, two things. Prayer, that Jesus says about prayer. It's about persistence. It's about encounter. It's about intimacy. Does anyone want to feed back anything that they feel like God said to them in this time? No pressure, but I felt like God say some lovely things to me. It's just sometimes really encouraging just to know what's going on around the place.
Oh, that was really, really, really great, Chloe. Thanks for that. That was amazing. Just one thing I was going to share is the first question you asked is, what does God think of you? Well, I picture Jesus was sitting there, and I just got this picture in my mind of a warm, an oven being opened with heat coming out, bread rising, and the smell of bread, which is, I thought, well, I'd quite like to be that. Thanks. So,
I just had a very simple thing, which was I just felt I was sitting in a big chair and his hands were on my shoulders and he was just rubbing my shoulders. And it was just a tremendous sense of assurance, just as simple as that. Just a well done.
The reason I'm saying I'm going to do it is because this is what I don't do. I sit there and I go, oh, yeah, I get it, I got it. And he'll go, go on then. No. No, 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 I can't do that because I'm not qualified enough. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm not qualified enough. I'm just now trying to think of what you said. When you said, how do you feel about you or whoever you see? Amazingly, I have all three. Very relaxed, just kind of sitting around a couch like that's in there. We're just all sat, just hanging, which is lovely. And then what does he think about me or how does he see me? This is how I think he sees me. With people. So I'm in management when I'm working, and I sort of know I'm good with people, but I won't let myself know. I won't allow myself to, because I think I don't want to come across like, I'm so good with people, I'm amazing. But I am, I'm really good with people, and I think this is what I should be doing. I should be talking to people, and I should be more confident in my faith, and I should be talking to people about it confidently. And I think that's what he wants me to do. So this is my first step. I've come up and I've done it, and I shall continue.
Yeah, I just felt Father was saying that you hear me far more than you give credit for. And I just think if that's for me, then it probably is for quite a few of us in the room that, you know, we are, you know, we're his sheep and he's a fantastic shepherd, and that we are in tune far more than we actually often, I think we're quite hard on ourselves. And but he loves us just to walk with him and, you know, just journey with him through all life's ups and downs.
Yeah, as we were doing it, one of the things that I was reminded of is that, you know, like Chloe said, you know, we often think, is it God or is it me? And I was just kind of reminded of actually, maybe this is one of the reasons why God created our imaginations. Actually, it's supposed to be a sacred place that he uses to communicate. So is it my imagination? Actually, that's the place where God wants to speak to us in. I was just sitting there just with my hands just out, and I felt like God take my hands. And it just felt absolutely amazing. And when I said, what kind of son am I? He said, you're the best kind. It just surprised me, made me laugh. made me just feel.
Yeah, when I asked how God saw me, and he just said, sweet. And I said, I just couldn't believe that because I'm not feeling particularly sweet today. I haven't behaved particularly sweetly to my family. And I just said, God, how can you say that? And he just said, I love you. And whatever you do, I love you.